بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continuing reading in عمدة الأحكام كتاب الصلاة باب الإمامة باب الإمامة The author he mentioned several narrations with regards to this affair the affair of الإمامة والإتمام being led in the prayer and following the imam in the prayer. And we have seen several of these narrations, the author he mentioned. And he closes the chapter with two narrations related to the imam and some of the etiquettes and manners that the imam, he must follow himself while leading the congregational prayer. So the author, he says, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا صلى أحدكم للناس فليخفف فإن فيهم ضعيفة والسقيمة وذا الحاجة وإذا صلى أحدكم لنفسه فليطول ما شاء The author he mentioned the narration of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم he said if one of you leads the people in prayer then he should lighten it then he should make it light. For verily, amongst the people there are the weak one and the sick one and the one who has needs and concerns to take care of. And if one of you prays alone by himself, then let him lengthen the prayer as he likes. Then let him lengthen the prayer as he likes. So we see that this narration here is with regards to the issue of the imam himself and how he will lead the prayer. And that he should lighten the prayer and observe the people that are praying behind him and the situation of the people and the condition of the people. But he will lighten the prayer in a manner that will not bring deficiency to the prayer and not bring any weakness or deficiency to the pillars of the prayer. Rather, he will lighten it in a manner that is prescribed and legislated. And in reality, this takhfif and lightening the salah is understood in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the one who has commanded those who lead the prayer to lighten the prayer, but likewise he is the role model and his prayer is the best prayer and the best manner to pray is in accordance to his sunnah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا That verily you have the best role model in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for those who hope for Allah in the hereafter and they remember Allah much and they remember Allah much. Therefore the qudwa with regards to this affair of making the prayer light is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the manner that he performed the prayer. So we see that the Messenger he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إذا صلى أحدكم للناس فليخفف. That if one of you prays with the people, then let him then he should make it light. If one of you prays with the people, meaning that the imam he's not praying by himself, rather he's praying with the people. So therefore, he is not going to keep in mind that which he desires or hopes for, but rather he will keep in mind the needs of those who are praying behind him. فليخفف, then let him make it light. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he clarified the wisdom behind this ruling and behind this commandment, and he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam فَإِنَّ فِيهِمْ الضَّعِيفُ because verily amongst them is the weak one, and the one who is weak, and he's weak because of old age, or weak because of a young age, or weak because of his body, and his body is weak. He has a weakness in his body, so this is very general. But likewise, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was-saqim, and also amongst them is the one who is sick, as-saqim ay-al-marid, the one who is sick. So this is a specific type of weakness. So this is from the aspect of mentioning a specific reason after a general reason. Al-da'af a'ammu min as-saqam. So this is from the aspect of altful khasi al-ami. This is what the people of knowledge, they mention. And then he said, likewise, and also amongst them, wa-dhal-haja. And this is the most general of all of the affairs that he mentioned in this narration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who has a need. I mean, a person who has some type of need, whatever that need may be, and this includes all of those. Maybe his need is because he's weak and he needs to rest, or his because he's sick and he needs likewise to rest, or maybe he has a need, even in, if it's a need in the affairs of the dunya, he has appointments to attend to, or he has issues that he has to take care of, and he has responsibilities that he has to fulfill. That hajjah, the person who has a need, even if it's an affair of the dunya, all of this is included. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has ordered for the imam and the one who leads the prayer to keep the condition of the people in these situations in mind while leading them. He said, وَإِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ لِنَفْسِهِ فَلْيُطَوِّلْ مَا شَاءَ. And if one of you prays alone by himself, then let him lengthen the prayer as he likes. Then let him lengthen the prayer as he likes. So here, with regards to the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلْيُخَفِّفْ. Then let him make it light. خَفَّفَ يُخَفِّفُ خَفِّفْ تَخْفِيفًا. تَخْفِيفًا is to make something light. التخفيف, to make something light. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is with regards to the recitation, and also the ruku', and also the sujood, and every other action of the prayer. And also the statements and the actions, the other statements and actions of the prayer are included. And he make the prayer, all of it, in this manner. But what is intended is a type of takhfif, or lightening the prayer, in a manner that will not bring deficiency to the prayer. And as has preceded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the role model in that. And it has been narrated from Anas radiallahu anhu that he said, "Ma salaytu wara'a imamin qat akhaffa salatan wa la atamma salatan min rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam." I have never prayed behind a man that had a lighter prayer, nor a more complete and perfect prayer than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This narration is collected by an Imam Muslim. So therefore, the intent between lightening the prayer is not to speed and move through it hastily and move through it quickly until the extent that the pillars would have deficiency in them, or the people praying behind the Imam will not be able to catch up with him or follow him properly or fulfill the pillars of their prayer properly, but rather to fulfill all of these pillars properly and to have tumanina and to have khushu' and humbleness and humility and to move in a good manner, but at the same time not to lengthen it so long that it will be a burden on the people. So therefore it will not be long until it is a burden and a hardship upon the people, and likewise it will not be short until it is a deficiency with regards to the conditions and the pillars and the obligations of the prayer, and the obligations of the prayer. So here we see the benefit of the fact that the imam and the one who is in charge and the leader and the one who has others under his care, particularly here in the salat, that he must observe the condition of the people who are praying along with him and observe the position and the state of the people who are under his responsibility and care. With regards to the salat, the issue of a takhfif and lightening that prayer, this is not entrusted to the desires of the people. And many people, they may understand that, and they see, for example, if there is an imam and he is following the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the recitation and in the standing and in the ruku' and in the sujood and the likes like this, then some people, they find this to be heavy for them. And this is from a weakness in faith and likewise in understanding, and also from ignorance of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So it must be understood that this issue of a takhfif and making the prayer light, this is not according to the desires of the people or what the people think or what the people want or would like, but rather what is the judge and the rule with regards to this is the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because verily he is the uswa Hasana, and he is the one who said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," pray in the manner you have seen me pray. And he is the one who led the people in prayer, and he is the imam of the ummah, the imam of the musallin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the one who ordered for the prayer to be lightened. So therefore this lightening of the prayer is understood in the light of his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the light of his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore the imam who learns the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to the recitation of the prayer and the bowing and the standing in the prayer and the sitting and the sujood in the prayer and the likes like this, and he follows the sunnah in that, then he is the one who is making the prayer light. the Sunnah has come distinguishing between the different prayers, and it is known that not all of the prayers are the same. And what is recommended in the Sunnah, what is recommended and found in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that some of the prayers are longer than others. For example, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to lengthen the Fajr prayer and the recitation in the Fajr prayer longer than other prayers. And the one who follows the Sunnah accordingly, then he will be making the prayer light. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to read from the likes of Qaf, and other than that, from the Tiwal and Mufassal, in the prayer of Fajr. So it has preceded that he would read from 60 to 100 verses in Fajr. And even some of the people of knowledge have mentioned that this is with regards to one rak'ah, 60 to 100 verses, even in one rak'ah. Some of the people of knowledge understood that that narration. So therefore, the Sunnah here, and that which is light in the Fajr prayer, is to lengthen the recitation a bit. And that lengthening is understood according to what has come in the Sunnah, and that is that he would read from those chapters, from the long chapters of Al-Mufassal, beginning with Surah Al-Qaf. So therefore, the Sunnah is going to decide and to determine which one is light and which one is long. And we have also, and it has also come in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he reprimanded Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu whenever he led the Isha prayer, and he lengthened it longer than what was the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and someone complained about that. And we see that he had recited Al-Baqarah. He had recited Surah Al-Baqarah in the Isha prayer. So therefore, this would be considered lengthening the prayer, and beyond the length that is recommended, and the likes like this. So this is an example of that. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered that in the Isha prayer that one would recite Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la, and surahs that are similar to length in this surah. So therefore, to recite Al-Baqarah in that prayer compared to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, no doubt this would be considered lengthening the prayer in a manner that is not prescribed, and in a manner that is not good. So again, to clarify, any of this takhfif and lightening of the prayer is not in the hands of the people or the desires of the layman, but rather the Sunnah is the judge with regards to this. And sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even he would recite in Al-Maghrib Surah Al-Tur or Mursalat. And sometimes even it's been narrated that Al-Maghrib he recited sallallahu alaihi wasallam Al-A'raf, and this is a very long chapter, approximately 200 verses and several pages. But this was not something that he did all the time. So therefore, also from the lightening of the prayer here, or the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it would be in this light manner according to his Sunnah. But sometimes he would lengthen more than other times, but what he would do the majority of the time would keep it shorter, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So long as the imam, he is following this methodology, then likewise he is upon the Sunnah, and he is following the correct way, and he is not making it hard on the people, but rather the people, they have to learn the Sunnah. Likewise, it's encouraged for the imam to remind the people sometimes, especially if it is known that there are individuals complaining about the prayer being long, and in reality the prayer is in accordance to the Sunnah, that he will remind the people, and he will tell them that we all left our homes to come to the masjid only seeking the pleasure of Allah. And we all know that the pleasure of Allah is found in the Sunnah and following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in reality, his Sunnah is this, this, and this, and this is what we are abiding by, alhamdulillah. So therefore, the people, whenever they hear this reminder, then inshallah, those whispers of shaitan will go away, and that feeling of heaviness will go away whenever they realize, he's right, we didn't come to the masjid and leave our homes for any other reason except for seeking the pleasure of Allah. That's why we gathered in this masjid in the first place. And we also, yes, that's right, we do believe that the pleasure of Allah cannot be obtained except by following the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the problem is, many people, they don't know the Sunnah. So therefore they should be taught, and they should be reminded, and they should be admonished. And this is something that will be beneficial for the people. And whenever they see that, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, they will be able to bear the burden that they were not able to bear before. Because with the remembrance of Allah and with sincere faith, the heavy actions become light, and they become delightful, and they become beneficial for the heart and for the soul. So there's another issue here that the people of knowledge, they mention, and that is in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلْيُطَوِّلْ مَا شَاءَ وَإِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ لِنَفْسِهِ وَإِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ لِنَفْسِهِ فَلْيُطَوِّلْ مَا شَاءَ. But if one of you prays alone by himself, then let him lengthen it as he likes. This is basically the case if he's praying by himself. Then let him lengthen it as he likes. But this is also understood according to the rest of the legislations that he would lengthen it as he likes, but he would not lengthen it, for example, until the time of the prayer goes out. So he would lengthen it as he likes, but if the time of the prayer is going to go out, he will not continue. Rather, he will stop and he will finish the prayer before that time goes out. So one will not lengthen the prayer and lengthen the prayer and lengthen the prayer all the way to the extent that the time goes out, and then he finishes praying the prayer after the time. But rather, he will lengthen the prayer in a manner that will be within sight of the time. And it could be understood here that let him pray as long as he likes. So somebody who was praying alone, he prayed a long prayer all the way until the time of the prayer goes out. No, this is not good. Or if there's two goods, any to be performed and two beneficial affairs to be done, then one will try to do both of them. But if he's not able to, then the one that takes precedence will be performed. And in this case, to perform the prayer in its proper time, it takes precedence. Or to complete the prayer in its proper time, it takes precedence. So therefore, one will not pray as long as one likes, and this understanding, but rather he will pray one as long as one likes, so long as it did not go outside of the time of the prayer. Also, we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his sunnah, he has also made an example of some of the rulings or some of the manners that the imam, he will follow. And that is that he examples of how he would make the prayer light himself, and how he would intend to lengthen the prayer sometimes, but then he would lighten it or cut it short because of issues that would occur during the prayer. And from this is the hadith that is collected by Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, and from the hadith of Abi Qatadah radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنِّي لَأَقُومُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ أُرِيدُ أَنُّ طَوِّلَ فِيهَا فَأَسْمَعُ بُكَاءَ الصَّبِي فَأَتَجَوَّزُ فِي صَلَاتِي كَرَاهِيَةَ أَنْ أَشُقُ عَلَى أُمِّهِ. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that verily I will stand up for the prayer, and I will want to lengthen the prayer some, and then I will hear the crying of a child, and I will shorten it and make it light. I will shorten my prayer and make it light because I dislike to bring a hardship to his mother. So here's an example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself observing the condition of the people praying behind him, that he would intend to lengthen the prayer some, but then he would hear the crying of a child, and he know that this would disturb the mother, and it would be a hardship on the mother to wait and to remain in the prayer, and he not able to move or to attend to the child, and that this is difficult for her and hard on her heart. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not like to bring that difficulty to her, so he would lighten the prayer, although he had intended to lengthen it some. So likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the affair of lengthening the prayer or shortening the prayer in the congregation, that if the imam, he's aware of the people and he knows that the people behind him, they have no problem with reciting a longer portion and the likes like this, and the people praying behind him, they're in agreement with him upon that, then it's okay for him and good for him. But in any case, the imam, he will keep in mind the situation of the people who are praying behind him, but at the same time, all of the people, the imam and the ma'mumun, all of them, they will also keep in mind of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is the judge in that, and they will strive to cooperate together to apply the sunnah the best that they can, and to work together upon that way. After this, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned another narration with regards to this affair. He says, وَعَنْ أَبِي مَسْعُودٍ الْأَنْصَارِي رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ إِنِّي لَأَتَأَخَّرُ عَنْ صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ مِنْ أَجْلِ فُلَانٍ مما يطير بنا، فما رأيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم غضب في موعظة قط أشد مما غضب يومئذ. This is the narration of Abi Mas'ud al-Ansari رضي الله عنه. His name is Uqba ibn Amr, and he is known as Abu Mas'ud. This is a different companion, not Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. لا, this is another companion. He is al-Ansari. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he is from al-Muhajirin. He's from al-Muhajirin. This one, Abu Mas'ud al-Ansari, his name is Uqba ibn Amr رضي الله عنه. And he is from the tribe of Khazraj. And he is also known as Abu Mas'ud al-Badri. Al-Badri, yani ascription to Badr. Although he did not attend the Battle of Badr, but he lived in an area near there. But he lived in an area near there, so therefore he was ascribed to that place from this aspect. But it is mentioned that he witnessed the Battle of Uhud and all of the battles and excursions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after that. That he witnessed Uhud and the battles after that. Radiallahu anhu, and he was from the fuqaha, and from those who had an abundance of knowledge and understanding in the Islamic jurisprudence and the legislation of the halal and the haram and the likes of this. And he was known for this, radiallahu anhu, and he moved to al-Kufa, and he died there in the khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. So we see that he says that a man, he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, verily, I fall behind and I come late to the morning prayer because of so-and-so. I come late to the morning prayer because of so-and-so, because he makes the prayer long, because he lengthens the prayer in a long manner. He said, and Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, I never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam become angry in an admonition more severe than he did on that day. And he, on this day, at this time, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard this, he became very angry. Why? Because one of the believers, he's not able to bear the burden of this action, and he comes to the obligatory prayer late because of this. And there's a lesson in this, that the one who is leading the prayer, he is striving to obey Allah, and he's thinking that he's doing an action of obedience, and he's leading the prayer, and he's establishing the prayer like this, and he's making it long because he loves the recitation. But in reality, this lengthening of the prayer is not in accordance to the sunnah, and therefore it is causing people to turn away from performing these obligations. And this is something that caused the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to become very angry. And according to Abu Mas'ud, he never saw him, radiallahu anhu, he never saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam become so angry while giving an admonition, that he never saw him become so angry and giving an admonition as he did on that day. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, فَقَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ فَقَالَ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ Oh, you people, إِنَّ مِنْكُمْ مُنَفِّرِينَ فَأَيُّكُمْ أَمَّ النَّاسَ فَلْيُوجِزِ He said, oh, you people, verily amongst you there are those who run the people away. And he run the people away from obedience, and run the people away from the sunnah, and run the people away from the ta'ah and the good deeds. إِنَّ مِنْكُمْ مُنَفِّرِينَ فَأَيُّكُمْ أَمَّ النَّاسَ فَلْيُوجِزِ So whoever from amongst you leads the people in prayer, then let him make it light. فَإِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِهِ الْكَبِيرُ وَالصَّغِيرُ وَذَا الْحَاجَةِ Because there are those who are praying behind him, the one who is old, and the one who is young, and likewise the one who has needs. So we see that this narration is similar to the previous narration, although there is a clarification of the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became angry in this affair, that whenever a person, he led the prayer in this manner and he lengthened it in this manner, causing the people to find the actions of obedience heavy and hard for them to perform or to comply to, whenever the deen was made heavy for them and hard for them and difficult for them, this is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became angry about. And this is because from the beautiful aspects and characteristics of the legislation of Al-Islam and the Prophet and the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is that it's easy and that it's facilitated and that it's not hard and that there's no hardship or difficulty in the religion and in the deen. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ يُسْرٌ Verily this deen is easy. So do not make it hard. Do not make it difficult. And from the greatest intents of the religion and from the Sharia and the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla is to unify the people and to make it easy for the people and to keep the people away from hardship and difficulty, especially in the affairs of the deen. especially in the affairs of the deen, that they should be unified upon the sunnah. That the sunnah, if it's applied properly, it would unify the people and it would bring the people together. But whenever an individual, he misunderstands these affairs, in whatever case, whether it be with regards to negligence, or with regards to going to extremes and being too harsh and the likes like this, or being too heavy, then all of this is contrary to the sunnah, and all of this is disliked. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became angry about this. Ya yuhannas, O you people, inna minkum munafirin, verily from amongst you are there those who run the people away. So verily, from amongst you there are those who run the people away. And this is the case, that sometimes there may be a person who wants to do good, or he hopes to do good, and he's striving to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is actually running the people away from the sunnah, and turning them away from the obedience. And this is something that a believer will be cautious about. And this narration has many benefits, and from them is an encouragement to be gentle and kind to the people, and to show mercy to the believers, and to be a means to help them upon obedience, and not to run them away from that. And also from the benefits of this narration here, we see also, like previously, the Imam, he will observe the condition of the people, and he will be aware of the state of the people who are praying behind them, and he will make it easy on them, and he will not make it hard upon them. And likewise, the rule with regards to that in the judge in this affair is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, from the benefits of this narration, we see that if a person, he is not careful, and he does not move upon knowledge, and if he wants to do good, or call the people to good, or if he wants to prohibit evil and forbid the people from evil, it has to be upon knowledge of the sunnah, and knowledge of how to perform that. So not only will one know the commandment, but likewise he will know how to perform it and know how to call to it. And also, likewise, not only will one know the prohibitions and the affairs that are bad and evil, but he will know how to avoid them himself, and he will know how to help others avoid them. Because some people, they call to good in a bad way, or they warn and they reprimand the people from evil in a bad way. And the way that they make inkar is a munkar itself. Or even they call to good, and the manner that they call the people to good is a manner that is not good itself, and the manner that they use. So therefore, a person, he has to have knowledge in these affairs. And a person, a believer, should be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will be a means to run the people away from the sunnah because of harshness, and because of ignorance, and because of foul manners, and the likes like this, or even if he thinks he's doing something that is an act of obedience. So also from the benefits of this narration, we see that this individual, he did not mention the man's name. He said, min ajri fulan, min ajri, because of so-and-so, I come late to the prayer, because of so-and-so, he makes the prayer long. So he didn't mention his name, mention him by name, and he didn't expose the individual, but he just mentioned the issue here so that it could be addressed. And likewise, we see from the benefits of this narration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, whenever he reprimanded the people in this, he didn't mention the man by name likewise. He said, Ayyuhannas. Ya Yuhannas. He didn't mention that man by name and expose him in front of the people, but rather he mentioned the ruling in general, and he gave a general warning. And many times this is more beneficial in giving admonitions, that the ruling and the issues will be mentioned in general, even though there's a specific person that may be intended, or that may need this particular information, but it will be mentioned in a general sense. And sometimes this is easier for the people to accept that, as opposed for one person being exposed, especially in a congregation, or one person being mentioned specifically, especially in a congregation, and the likes like this. Although there are certain circumstances or events when people's names will be mentioned, and they will be identified, and they will be specified. But in general, in the teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many examples in the sunnah like this, that whenever things would happen, and people would make mistakes, individuals and the likes like this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would mention it like this. Ya Yuhannas. Or he would say, ما بال أقوام يفعلون كذا وكذا. What is the reason I find people doing this and that? And he would not mention them by name. So this is a general ruling and benefit with regards to the affair of admonishing the people and advising them and directing them, that if it's possible to not mention them by name, and that the benefit can reach them and the understanding can be clarified, that this is the manner to do that without exposing the people and the likes like this, although there are certain circumstances and situations when it is needed for the people of evil to be identified by name and the likes like this, and this is also accordingly. And we close with that. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.